All right, good evening, everyone. I've titled my devotion tonight as Living the Blessed Life. Regardless of our age, whether we are young or old, we all wish and desire to live a blessed life. And someone once said this, I'm blessed. Every day of my life, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, every day of my life, I'm blessed. But to our Chinese brethren, they have well expressed this as dan en. And in English, it means to say that it is thanking God for his daily providence and grace. So, brethren, do we express the same heartfelt gratitude to God, just as the Chinese brethren would do so? And tonight, we want to ask ourselves, what is a blessed life? What standard defines it? How does the world define a blessed life? What does the Bible say about a blessed life? And can we really live a blessed life? These are the questions I hope to address from God's Word. The portion of scripture that just read for us by Pastor Charles is taken from Psalm 39 verse 5 and Matthew 5 verses 8 to 10. Now Psalm 39 was written by King David. And the exact occasion in which he penned this psalm cannot be ascertain. And one commentator called this psalm funeral psalm. Why? When reading it, we should get our hearts duly affected with the brevity, uncertainty, and disastrous state of the human life. But thank God that those who look to him in faith under such trying circumstances will find this psalm of great comfort to them. Psalm 39 verse 5 begins with the word, behold, he calls us to attention. To take note, now King David reminds us of our days, our lives, and the length of our lives is as hand breath. Now what is a hand breath? Just as the picture shows, it is the breath of a hand which is about 2.5 inch to 4 inches, depending on how big your hand is. In other words, our days on earth are not very long. And King David continued to tell us that our age is as nothing. Yes, man's age is nothing compared to the existence of God. 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord. It is as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. Now the patriarchs used to live close to 1,000 years, but it gets shorter and shorter over the years until Moses told us 70 and 10, and if by reasons of strength, they be 80. This is quite close to the average age of Singaporean, and yet it's their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Finally, we come to the key point of our devotion tonight. Verily, every man, his best state is altogether vanity. Truly, every man, without exception, in his best state, is altogether the sum of all that man can achieve and possess, are worthless, brutal, meaningless, and pointless. Now, this is a truth of undoubted certainty. Man may deny it, know it, or even reject it, but it is a fact, and it is real. So apart from God, we can conclude that all is vanity. The psalmist asks, is man's best estate? What is man's best estate? Well, among all the desires that man wishes to have, there are three top goals that ambitious men of this world seek after. That is power, wealth, and health. Now power. Man wants power to control all that he wants and his destiny. But there is no absolute power. Man's power does not last forever. It will diminish. And in Daniel chapter 4 verse 35 and 37, God's word tells us, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And those that walk in pride, those who think that they are great, like King Nebuchadnezzar. He, that is God, is able to base or to humble, just as he did to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, it is evidence in history, kingdoms rise and fall, and no earthly kings or presidents power forever. It is God who put down one and set up another. Man does not have absolute power, and hence, it cannot satisfy his desire to be happy. It can only cause great dissatisfaction and lead him to resort to unscrupulous ways and means to achieve his ends. The second goal that men go after is wealth. But Jesus told his disciples that a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And Paul told us that we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. This was also long recorded for us in Job chapter 1, verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Moreover, the wealth that a man accumulates, he may not get to enjoy it. Neither does he know who shall take it and enjoy it. Thus, wealth is no guarantee for a blessed life, as we learn from the rich young man who came to Jesus and asked him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" The young man went away very sorrowful, for he was very rich, and was unwilling to part his wealth to follow the Lord Jesus for the blessed life. Thirdly, health. Some people say that health is wealth. Now, this is a more recent addition, as men realize that they can't amass power and wealth without health to enjoy them. But as the Chinese saying states correctly, 自古以来谁无死, which means to say that since time memorial, there's no man who does not die. Similar to power and wealth, there's no absolute health. Health does not last forever. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us plainly, our health will deteriorate, and death is certain, for it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Indeed, how true that we look for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Jeremiah 8, verse 15. So it is therefore clear that the three top goals in life, power, wealth, and health, are just transient and do not help men to achieve or live the blessed life. At best, they would only provide temporary happiness and satisfaction, but no lasting peace and comfort for eternity. The happiness that they bring are short-lived, and hence, apart from God, all is vanity. Then, are the ingredients for blessed life. I would like to suggest three P's. First P is purity, peace, and persecution. Now, these three are by no means exhaustive. However, if we could, by God's grace, attain them, I'm sure we can live and enjoy the blessed life that God promised. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Dear brethren, it is indeed a blessing to be able to see God. True believers yearn for the Lord, and only hearts without blemish, washed, cleansed by Jesus' blood, can see God. Isaiah recognized this, and he says that, "Woe is me, for I am done." When hearts are cleansed, they are pure, and we should be able to see God. Now, this does not mean that we can see God physically, or face to face, for there shall no man that can see God and live. To see God is to be close to Him and to have close fellowship with Him. And indeed, it is a blessed experience to be able to commune with our God, with our Creator, as a child, and call Him Abba Father. Now, all of us who have that experience, you would know what I mean, to be able to be in the presence of God. Our hearts are free from sin, and there is no fear a joy in his presence. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Peace never goes with sin or tolerates evil. We are sinful, but having been therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are acquitted of our sins, and our sins are forgiven. And thus, we have peace with God and in God. We are then commanded to live peaceably with all men. Now, Christians cannot and must not be quarrelsome. As God's children, we are wise and we are able to discern spiritual things and spiritual values. The wisdom from God is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So if we are endowed with such wisdom from above and dwell in peace with God, it follows that we will be peacemaker between God and man. And this is the ministries of reconciliations that God has committed to us, as recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the first P, pure in heart. The second P, peacemakers, and peace that we enjoy in God's presence. The last P is, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, it says that, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Yes, it shall be well with the righteous when under persecution, in all conditions and under all circumstances. Now, in real life, we can expect to be misrepresented and misunderstood. Even when we try to live peaceably with all men, it is indeed difficult to suffer under persecution when we have done nothing wrong. But again, it is recorded for us that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted our God, our Lord Jesus, they will also persecute you and me. Therefore, fortify our souls to face persecutions. If God so will, believe in divine authority more confidently than what we can see with our eyes and feel with our hands. Whom God blesses is blessed indeed. And when his lips declares, is truth most sure and steadfast. So my brethren, as James says, you know, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation and persecution included. If we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with him. For ours is the kingdom of heaven, as promised in this beatitude. God shall turn our persecutions into joy. So in a nutshell, the blessed life is one that is free from sin, that is with our heart pure, filled with God's peace, with God and in God, and ready to suffer for righteousness' sake. Our Lord has set us the examples. Many saints have gone it and gone through it. And it is for us, therefore, to emulate them and experience it, of what a blessed life would be. Now, the choice of choosing which one is obvious. The friendship of this world is enmity with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Moreover, we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the choice for us to live the blessed life is therefore obvious. Choose not power, neither wealth, nor health in the right proportion, but rather choose peace, choose purity, choose persecutions for righteousness' sake. The former things, temporal and carnal, it only satisfies the flesh, but the latter, the three P's, are eternal. It is food for our soul. It will do us well and give us the joy and peace to live the blessed life as God has promised. Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. And indeed, it is true. My hope is in God. Our hope is in our covenant-keeping God, whose promises is yea and amen. Only He can offer us the blessed life here and beyond. Regardless of our age, we need not have to be heaven to enjoy the blessed life. But the eternal life starts here with God. Right? My last slide is this. Man's best state is altogether vanity. Making the right choice in life is important. Don't waste our time. Don't waste our life. Let us therefore seek Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, all the things that we need in life shall be added unto us. God has promised it. He will keep it. We must place our value on the right things. Things of eternal value. Things where moth nor rust cannot corrupt, nor thieves can break through and steal. So pray to the Lord to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom in making the right choice to live the blessed life while the Lord tarries. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that, Father, you give us the spiritual eyes to see the eternal value that we should have by trusting in you, not in our flesh, and not to seek after the things of this world. Lord, you have asked us to set our affections on things above and not the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to learn to trust you day by day, that, God, you are able to provide for all our needs, even though the young lions do lack. But Lord, you know that we can trust you because you have redeemed us and make us your child, your children. And you will keep us. You will preserve us. You will protect us. And you will lead us on. Whatever we may face in life, God, we pray that thou will teach us to be faithful, to be truthful to you all the days of our life, until the day, Lord, you will call us home. We thank you, Lord, for your words of promise and words of encouragement. May you help us to experience the peace by trusting in you, and bless thy people, Lord, as we continue to seek thee in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.